The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
One of the things I think that our church does phenomenally well is this. This is a family. Like, you're part of a group, a family. Like, there's this mentality. Man, Sunday night at the dessert auction, it was so neat because the neatest thing to me was, one, nobody really outbid anybody else. Like, there are a couple times where other people were trying to, like, raise the price up. But genuinely, there was this idea where, like, we just wanted you to get the dessert you want, and we want to eat it with you. And everybody except, I'm going to say, there were a couple desserts that they kept back, and then nobody got to taste those. But for the most part, man, when everybody got done, we just sat back and opened them up, and everybody ate desserts, and we sat around and had a blast. And one of the things I think our church does so, so good is this idea of community or fellowship or family. And so over the next 5 to 10 years, I think that needs to be something that we really pour our focus into, is being a family, being a community, being a fellowship of people together. And so this morning, I want to talk about this idea that you belong here. And I told you we're going to have some fun. So I want to tell you the story of a young white boy from the mean streets of Hudson, Florida. Oh, man, it was mean. It was so mean, in fact, because this boy, now we're not going to say his name, but we'll just throw this out there, that this boy, he lived far away from all his friends. See, he had friends that lived far away in town, and he lived out in the country. When I say the country, they didn't have cable TV where he lived. Like, we were out in the, he was out in the sticks. And so this boy, he did a lot of things to fit in. Like, I don't know if y'all remember JNCO jeans, but they were the jeans that were started right here, and then somehow it looked like a skirt the rest of the way down. I mean, it was just these six people could fit in pant legs. You don't remember those. Okay, just that boy does then, because he wore those a lot, and he got chains. This boy weighed like maybe 105 pounds and could barely keep these massive weighted jeans on. And he decided that what he needed to do is put more chains on these jeans so that he would look cooler. And then this boy noticed that everybody had blonde hair, and he didn't have blonde hair. But his parents wouldn't let him bleach his hair because that was a sin somehow. And so this boy went out and decided that if you put lemon juice or peroxide in your hair, that it would turn your hair almost blonde. And so he did that. And he went to great lengths to belong to anyone and everyone because he wanted to belong. And so my question for you this morning is I know another boy who grew up in the mean streets of Portsmouth, Ohio. And this boy decided that he wanted pork chop sideburns. But he couldn't grow pork chop sideburns. But the dollar store down the road sold glue-on pork chop sideburns. So as a 7-year-old, he went to the dollar store and bought glue-on pork chop sideburns and wore those around like they were really his. So my question for you this morning as we start is, what's the most questionable fashion sense that you've ever done to belong? Anyone brave enough to answer? Elephant jeans. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Share hair.
Share hair. Never heard of that, but I think some people have. Oh, Cher, the singer Cher. Okay, all right, Cher. I thought you shared hair with people, and I was like, man, that's some brave stuff right there. Anybody else?
Starter jackets.
Windbreakers. Those were cool, right? Just want to see if anybody could say that with a straight face. No, we do these questionable things. And when we look back, like this morning, as I was thinking through, confession time, the young boy from the mean streets of Hudson, Florida, that was me, man. And I thank goodness, I'm pretty sure I've destroyed all the pictures of that. Evidence does not exist anywhere. And I was looking back through pictures, but I found pictures of like what I looked like in high school. And I was like, oh my goodness, why would I do that? Like, that's so terrible. That's so stupid. And we do these things because why? Because we want to belong. Because in every single person, in every person that's ever been created, there's this desire, there's this longing, there's this want to belong. You want to belong to something. It's in us, it's in our DNA. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but college football started the other day. It's kind of a big deal, right? No? Okay. So I know yesterday at my house, this was said several times. We're not winning because I'm not wearing my shirt. Anybody say that today, maybe? No, maybe not winning, because I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen today. But it struck me as funny because it's we. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that the guys who are playing on that field have no clue whether you're wearing your lucky shirt or not, whether you're drinking out of your lucky cup or not, whether you're even watching or paying attention whatsoever at all to the game. But we say we. Why? Because there's this sense that we want to belong to whatever they're doing. There's this desire in all of us to belong. And it's from creation in Genesis chapter 2. God says this, or the Bible says this, the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God formed man out of the ground, all of the wild animals, out of the birds, or all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man so that he could name them. And whatever he called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, there was no helper suitable for him. And then that goes on to tell the story of how God made Eve so that there was somebody for Adam to do life with. But going all the way back to Genesis, there's this idea that you and I desire to be a part of something. We desire to belong. We desire to be with someone, or some entity of community has to be there. It talks about how in the Bible, one of the things that we lost that we don't ever really think about, but in the garden, one of the things that we lost was the fellowship that we had with God. It talks about how anybody enjoying the false fall, is this false fall in Alabama Louisiana? Is this false fall or is this real fall? It's false fall? Okay, that's what I was worried about. Anybody enjoying the false fall though? Man, like the other night, like we went out for a walk and it was nice and it was cool. And it talks about how man and God walked in the cool of the garden at night in the Garden of Eden. And there was this fellowship and there was this community between Adam and Eve and God. And they were all walking together and enjoying life together. All the way back from the very beginning, you and I were created to belong to something. And it's not just a want to belong. It's the idea that nobody wants to be alone. Now, where are my introverts at? Who's an introverted person? All right, my introverted people. All right, you like to be alone, but do you like to be alone by yourself? Or you want to be alone, but somebody has to be there with you, right? Like I'm like that sometimes. Like I want to be alone, but man, if my house was completely empty, I would be terrified. I'd be petrified. In fact, I think a lot of us that we wouldn't say, but a lot of our biggest fears is being alone. Like I watch the lengths and the extents that people go to just to not be alone. And how interesting it is to me, because I think the idea is that nobody wants to be alone. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, the wisest king is writing to his son, and he says this, two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help him, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Real quick, anybody remember the Three Ninjas movie? Y'all, somebody remember that movie, the Three Ninjas movie? And the grandpa, that's what he told Rocky, Tum Tum, and Bullwinkle, or I don't remember the other one's name, but they were three brothers and they were ninjas and they would put their hands together and he would say he quoted the Bible. I didn't realize he was quoting the Bible as a kid. I thought he was like doing some ninja stuff, but it's interesting. He quotes the Bible, but isn't that the truth? That like all of us, man, we're better in community. We're better in this thing called a fellowship. While nobody wants to be alone, even the most introverted person can see the benefit of being a part of a community. Because the success rate goes up. Your protection goes up. What you experience, life that you go through, is better in community. In fact, we're the best version of ourselves when we live in a healthy community. Now, there's some key words here. The best version of ourselves. That means there's a best version of you out there. Sometimes we live up to it, sometimes we don't, but there is an absolute best version of who you are. And the best version of who you're going to be is when you live in a healthy fellowship. Now, you say, well, what about when I've not been a good version of myself and I've been in fellowship? Y'all know what I mean, right? Again, those JNCO jeans that young boy wore from the streets of Hudson. I got a piece of pencil lead stuck in my arm from those same stupid JNCO jeans, and thinking that if I was tough enough, I'd leave my arm on a desk while somebody stabbed me with a pencil. Why? Because I was in fellowship. Oh man, I was in some fellowship with some dudes, but it wasn't healthy fellowship. It wasn't healthy relationships. And so we need to be careful, because while we're the best version of ourselves in healthy relationships and healthy community, we can become the absolute worst version of ourselves when we enter into unhealthy fellowships and unhealthy community and unhealthy relationships. And so we have to be careful of those. In James chapter 3, verse 16, James says this: "For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you'll find all kinds of disorder and every evil practice." We have this desire to fit in, but we have to be careful, because sometimes that desire to fit in, to belong, causes us to make foolish decisions, causes us to do some dumb stuff. Y'all ever been there? You're in a group of friends and all of a sudden you do something really dumb and you're like, man, if I wouldn't have been in this group of friends, I never would have done this. I watched a horror movie in an abandoned, burned down house at 2 o'clock in the morning one time. Why? I have absolutely no clue. But my friend said it'd be cool, and I was like, yeah, sure, it will be. I was terrified. I had no business being there. Again, the company I kept told me that was where it would be cool to be. And so I was there. And so we make some terrible decisions if we're not careful with this, and we get into unhealthy relationships. That desire going back to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, the people said this. They began to say to each other, "Let us make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a great city with a tower that reaches to the sky. This will make us more famous, and it'll keep us from being scattered over all the world." And you're like, well, man, that's what we're talking about. They wanted to belong to something. They wanted to be in community with each other. But there's only one problem with that. When you go back to Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, God specifically instructs Noah and his descendants. And he tells them, he says, so that they can spread out over all the earth be fruitful and multiply on it. The idea for Noah and all his descendants were to spread out. They weren't supposed to stay in one spot. While they were supposed to stay in community, the healthy thing is to obey God. And in that obeying God, you find new communities as you start to spread out, as you start to disperse, as you start to go where he leads you to go. And so the thing that they did that was wrong was they disobeyed a direct order from God. And so they weren't in a healthy community anymore. Now they were in a damaging community. They were in a damaging fellowship. And that's why God had to do the Tower of Babel, cause everybody to be confused, and send everybody on their own way. Proverbs 22:24-25 says this: "Don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get ensnared yourself, Because what we want to belong, because we want to belong, if we aren't careful with who we fellowship with, we'll compromise who we are and we'll end up just like everyone else. So this morning, let's say that you're here. And again, hey, everybody, do me a favor. Grab this card from somewhere around you. You should be able to see this card. Can everybody see this? All right. Everybody got one of these? All right, now, if you flip it over, there's this thing called a QR code. All right. Take a picture of that. That takes you to our church's Facebook page. I want you to take the picture of that. Send this service to somebody who needs to hear this, okay? Because the reality is we all want to belong. We all need to belong. And we all know people who need to belong here with us, don't we? How many of you have sat, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Nope, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. You got to think quick this morning. Somebody that you know that needs to be here. Anybody think of somebody they know that needs to be here? Okay. All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to take a picture of this. Find Sunday's sermon. Send them Sunday's message. Send them this and say, hey, listen, I want you to know you belong here with us. Okay. All right. That's your homework for this week. You send them this and tell them they belong here with you, with us. All right. So who belongs here? Who belongs in this fellowship? Who belongs in this community? Who belongs at this church? There's a couple different people I think that belong here. If you feel like you don't belong anyplace else, you belong here. See, there's this verse in Ephesians, and Paul is writing, and he says, "Those who are no longer so you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship. You are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built together on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The whole structure is joined together and continues to be into a growing holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, set apart, and sacred in the presence of God. And in Him, and in fellowship with one another, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Y'all ever go someplace and you just don't feel like you belong there? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of the best illustration I can think for this. Y'all ever go to a fancy dinner and you're not a fancy person? You know what I mean? Like, they got like 16 forks and I know how to use one. You ask for ketchup on your steak. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, this is not your place and you know it right away. See, it's interesting to me that this is where it starts, because a lot of us give this excuse of I can't go there, I can't belong, I can't be a part of this because I really don't fit in anywhere. And that's not the case at all. Because what Paul says in this passage is this: we all were in that situation at some point in time. And so for the person who thinks that they don't belong anywhere, this is exactly where they belong. For that individual who feels like they don't fit in, they can't grasp it, they can't be a part of anything else, this is where you belong. You belong here. When you feel like you don't belong anyplace else, you're not a stranger, you're not an alien, but this is home. You're part of something bigger. You're part of the body of Christ. No matter how individual you are, there's a place for you in the body of Christ, and there's a place for you in this church. Wednesday night Bible study. Oh my goodness. If y'all aren't coming to Wednesday night Bible study, y'all are missing the best night of the week. And that's saying a lot, because there's football starting back now and all kinds of different things. But Wednesday night Bible study is phenomenal, man. I love it. And one of the things we talked about on this Wednesday night was how the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that fills you and I when we accept Christ, is part of this thing that unifies us and brings us together. And so regardless of how individual, how unique, how separate, how different you are from everyone else, if you call yourself a follower of Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you are part of us. I'm part of you and you're part of me, and we're in this thing together. When you don't think you have any place else that you belong here. If you feel like you're alone, you belong here. In Psalm 68, verse 6, the writer says this: God makes a home for the lonely. He leads the prisoner into prosperity. Only the stubborn and rebellious dwell in a parched land. Man, we go to all kinds of lengths as a church to do everything we can to try and let you know that there is something in some place for you. We started a senior adult ministry off our rockers. You know why we did that? Because we don't want you to feel like in your senior adult years, you have to go through life alone. We're searching diligently for a youth pastor. Why? Because we don't want you to feel like during your high school years, you have to go through life alone. We do fellowships like the cake auction. We do fellowships like our watermelon socials. We do all kinds of different things. We give you these cards. We have invitation times. We do everything we can as a church because I want you to understand this. You don't have to go through life alone. You're not intended to go through life alone. That's not your purpose. It's not how you were designed. And you don't have to do that because if you feel like you're alone, you belong here. If you know a person who feels like they're going through life alone, I'm begging you, take a picture of this, send this to them, do something, somehow get them this information that they belong here because nobody needs to go through life alone. We do everything we can because I want you to understand that you do not have to go through life alone. Eddie and I were talking, I think, about the other day about the invitation. He said, why do you stand there during the invitation? I said, I have no clue. I just want somebody to know if they're going through something, they're not going through it by themselves. And I'm here for them if they need to talk and they need to get something off their chest. Miss Bonnie made these awesome cards. And one of the things, the last thing it says, will you please pray with me? You know why we did that? Because we want you to know that if you're going through a struggle, you're going through a difficulty, you're going through life and it's overwhelming and continuing to just dredge you down, you're not going through it alone. There's a church, there's a family, there's a fellowship that wants to walk through it with you. And so if you feel alone this morning or you know someone who feels alone, I want you to get the word to them that they belong here. Maybe you think I'm too bad to belong. If you think you're too bad to belong, you belong here. Matthew chapter 9 verse 11 says this, that when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner. How many of you have heard people say, I can't go to church until I get done with this? I can't go to church until I get this out of my life. I can't go to church until I get this cleaned up, until I'm the perfect this or I'm the perfect that, or I fix all my sin problems and I no longer have a sin problem, because if I go to church without that, those people are going to judge me and they're going to look down on me. And if that's the case, and if that's how you feel this morning, I want you to understand that if you think you're too bad to go to church someplace, you're not. You belong here. Listen, I'll be the very first person to tell you the church is full of hypocrites and I'm the leading one. I'm a hypocrite. There are times I do hypocritical things. But guess what? That's why I'm here. I'm a sick individual in need of a physician. I'm a sinner who needs a savior, and that's why I come here. I don't got everything figured out yet, and I probably won't this side of heaven. But I'm going to continue to be here until God makes me into what he wants me to be. And so if that's you this morning, or if you know this individual who thinks, well, I'm too bad, I can't go to church until I get all this stuff figured out, I want you to tell them, no, 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 you belong here. Now, there's one group. Let's go to the other group, because there's also those individuals who say, I'm too good to go to church there. No, you're not. You belong here. I can't go to church because, you know, who goes to church over there? That person. You know what that person did. And if that's the case, and they're going to accept those people in that church, then I want nothing to do with church at all. Can I tell you, that's called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is forgetting that you too, at one point in time, were lost and in need of a savior. Self-righteousness is forgetting that at one point in time, you were an alien and an outsider and didn't belong, but because of what Christ did in your life, now you belong. And so this morning, if that's you, you think you're too good to belong, you're not. And you need to be here just as much as anybody else does. First Peter 2:9-10. But you are chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into marvelous light. And now you must tell all the wonderful things he's done. The scripture says, once you were nobody, but now you're God's people. At one time, no one had mercy on you. Now God has treated you with kindness. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with each other and do not be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. interesting because when you read that First Peter passage, it starts out and it's so promising and it's so encouraging and it's so uplifting. And you're like, I'm part of this. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm all these different things. God chose me. I'm so cool. But he says, but that's not who you always were. Once you were somebody who had nobody. Once you were somebody who no one showed mercy to. But now what God's done in your life has made you part of something bigger. And that's why the Roman passage to me is so unique when it follows it. Because the Roman passage says, hey, listen, you're all just ordinary folks. Hey, church, can I tell you something? You're all just ordinary folks. Who I love dearly. Because every single one of you is extraordinary in your own way because of what Christ has done in your life. And I love hearing your stories and I love watching you grow. I threw Kelsey under the bus this week. Miss Bonnie said, hey, our prayer emphasis is spiritual awakening. Can you think of anybody? And I said, the first person that came to my mind is Kelsey. I've known her longer than you. Sorry. But man, I've watched God do a remarkable work in this girl's life. She's an ordinary person. But man, she's extraordinary when I watch all the things that God's done in her life. And the same thing is true for each and every one of you. You are extraordinary people when you start to share what God's done in your life with other people. But you only get to realize that when you start to fellowship and you start to enjoy the community of living in fellowship with other ordinary people. Because as long as we're too good to associate with ordinary people, we miss the blessing of seeing the extraordinary things that God does in their life. So this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, you belong here because he wants you here. The question for us now, church, is this. Is that who we are? Do we choose to be a part of this fellowship? Do we choose to be a part of this community? Do we choose to share our life with each other and share in what we have and what we struggle with and what we're going through? Or do you want to just come in, sit in your section, tape off your little area of pews? Don't share life with anybody. Walk out of the doors, come back the next week and sit in the same little spot. Keep it all yourself. Is it because you're too good, you're too bad, or you think you can do it by yourself? The second part of that is, church, if we're going to proclaim this, do we believe it when they walk in those doors? I think we do. I really do. This came from a place in me that I think this is something our church does really, really well. But I think the problem is this. Our church does this really, really well once they get through these doors back here. See, if they're out there, they're out there. And they're somebody else's problem. And so we don't worry about them. We're not focused on them. We don't have anything to do with them because they're out there. Now, once they come through the doors, we're welcoming, we're inviting. They're part of what we do here. And we welcome them into our fellowship and we make them a part of our family and all those things. But they have to come here first. Right? And while that's true, my question for you is, what are you doing to get them from out there in here? What are we doing as a church to get them from out there in here? To let them know you belong here. Man, can I brag on y'all for like, 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds to brag on you real quick. We've got some phenomenal stuff going on here. We've got a children's ministry that is top tier. I watch what our children do on Wednesday nights, the excitement, what they learn, all those different things that go on. And I would rival and I would put that children's ministry up against any church's children's ministry in the entire parish state. What we do here with our children is remarkable. We've got youth. Where are my boys at up there? You know those guys get up every morning and walk to church? Let me say that again. Some of y'all cried and complained to get out of bed this morning and drive in your car to church because you had to be here because you had a responsibility. Those boys got up this morning, got dressed, walked to church to be here. What we've got going on in our student ministry department is phenomenal. What Mandy's doing with our volunteer base now that we've got, and as we're searching to fill this youth pastor role, man, it's top notch. I was on a group with other pastors this week, and we were talking, and there was a pastor, and he was telling me, man, our Wednesday nights are terrible. We've got three people. It's just teetering on the brink of we just are going to stop doing Wednesday nights. He said, what do y'all do that works? I said, I don't have a clue. I've got good people who want to be there. Why? Because you guys talk. You lead discussion. You make Wednesday nights enjoyable. Our Sunday morning services are enjoyable. Our Sunday schools are enjoyable. What we're doing as a church is remarkable. But it's the best kept secret in all of Morningsport. It's the best kept secret in all of Caddo Parish. Because you've got people who live. If I was a spitting person and could spit good, spitting distance from the doors of our church, who have no clue what we do here. You've got people who you shake hands with, who you hug on, who you high five, who you have text conversations with all day long, who are dying for a place to belong. And you don't say a word about what goes on here. Now, again, I think they belong here. I believe you believe they belong here. What are you willing to do to make sure that they get here? To know that they belong here. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. Father, I thank you for what you're doing here. God, it's not just words. Oh, man, it's not just words. Father, you want to do something remarkable in the world from this church. You want to upset the entire world from right here in Morningsport, Louisiana. And God, you're doing it. You're upsetting the lives in such a good way. You're bringing people into deeper knowledge of who you are. And Father, you're growing our fellowship in ways that are phenomenal. But God, there are still so many out there who have no clue that they belong here. God, they're trying to do life on their own. They're scared that they can't find a church that would accept them the way they are. Lord, I pray that you would ignite something through this month in September of a spiritual awakening in the lives of our folks, in the life of our church, that God, we would broadcast everywhere to everyone. You belong here. You belong here because the Creator of heaven wants you here. Because you are valuable, precious, and important to Him. And therefore, you're valuable, important, and precious to us. God, I pray that as this time of invitation takes place, Lord, I pray that you would lay on our hearts, our minds, God, people who we need to let know that they belong here. God, I pray that for the individuals that are here in this room, they can't rest until they invite that person that needs to be here. Because, God, you've already prepared the heart of that person to be invited. And you're just waiting for us to take the initiative to step out and ask them to be a part. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would help us during this time of invitation just to respond to you in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Morningsport Baptist Church in Morningsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.